She's got brothers and sisters all across this land, wearing them old blue jackets, this country's in their hands. They're gonna work the earth, put the food on the table, and they're gonna lead the way as long as they're able. Don't worry, America, these blue jackets have you covered.
Sam L. Smith, the country music performer and an FFA alum. The song's called Blue Jackets, and he has a connection with the FFA. I have a connection with the FFA. You know, Taylor Swift and I have a thing going between the two of us. She doesn't know it, but I could tell you that Taylor Swift was also a member of the FFA, as was Tim McGraw, I think Jimmy Carter, the baseball player, Bo Jackson. Well, he played baseball and football. So those are some of the people that have been have connections with me as former FFA members. And we got a couple of people who are currently FFA folks to visit with you today about the FFA. Amalia Draxler, one of them. She's president of Wisconsin FFA. Amalia, great to have you with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
She's really smart because she's at the UW-Madison. She's studying ag and applied economics and life sciences communication, which is my home department. So a great tie there. And I tell you, many of my students went through with that just that same double major, and it's proven to be pretty good double major. Well, another person I have a lot of ties with is with us as well, Cheryl Zimmerman. She is Wisconsin FFA Executive Director and also National FFA Executive Secretary. Cheryl, welcome. You and I go way back.
Well, hello, Larry. It's good to see you and hear you. Yes, we do. I remember your class. You taught me all about broadcasting when I was in college, so I appreciate everything you taught me.
Oh, that was a couple of years ago, for sure. It's great to see you again. As we talk with our two guests, I hope you'll join in. Want to hear from you. Tell us about your memories with FFA. I know we've got lots of people listening. Many of them probably participated in FFA. Maybe you work in agriculture now. Maybe how you can talk about what FFA was like when you were in it and how it maybe helped prepare you for your careers. Maybe you grew up on a farm, or how did you value the time you spent working in the field or helping with chores? What did it teach you? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Well, not everybody in FFA winds up to be a Taylor Smith type or president of the United States or maybe outstanding baseball and football player. But there are a lot of obviously there are a lot of opportunities, and I think, you know, many people have heard of FFA, but a lot of people listening don't know much about it or maybe anything about it. What can you do as a member of the FFA?
That's a great question. Yeah, Amalia, what can you do ahead. In the FFA? I think the real question is, what can't you do in the FFA? Once you join, it's an endless sea of opportunities for any students. It's our mission is to develop premier leaders, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. And a key component to the FFA is it's tied into what we call a three-circle model. So it's actually an intracurricular, and it's in collaboration with classroom and laboratory instruction for agricultural education. It's also the FFA component. component. And then we also have supervised agricultural experiences, or SAEs. And throughout any of these components, students can dive into anything agricultural education related. Some of my favorite parts were developing my SAE in dairy production. So I grew up on my family's dairy farm, and that allowed me to get some hands-on work through an SAE, or doing competitions like our leadership development events, career development events, or even attending leadership conferences.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a lot, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty excited because I have the privilege and opportunity to work with young people like Amalia. I've been working for 33 years now with these young people as state FFA officers, and they are just impressive. And all the students that have come through the FFA over all these years, you know, I remember back because I was an FFA member back in the early 80s, graduated from high school in 84. There were not a lot of girls involved back at that time. So for me, I grew up on a dairy farm, and it just kind of was a natural thing. I was in 4-H and thought FFA would be a perfect fit. So no matter if there were a lot of girls or not, I decided to get involved. And yeah, you know, the 80s were kind of a tough time for agriculture. My mom and dad were like, you know, are you sure you're interested in this? I said, you bet I am. And I'm sure glad I continued on, because boy, did FFA open up a lot of doors for me in my career, too.
Yeah. And there, I mean, if you think about the range or the breadth of FFA chapters here in the state, I was looking at a map and, you know, I see these little blue dots across pretty much all of the state, Amalia.
Yeah, it's a really wide range of chapters. And I think it's something special because we're bridging a gap between even rural and urban students. And I believe we have over 261 chapters in our Wisconsin FFA. And we're even chartering, I think, 5 new chapters this year. And it's been a pleasure as a state officer to get to connect with students all around the state. And I've done so much traveling that I'm to the point almost that any school that has an FFA chapter, I can tell you a general location throughout the state. But it's a real pleasure to get to connect with all of these students.
The other thing I'd like to add, Larry, is that now as a national organization, we have reached over 1 million members nationwide. But exciting for Wisconsin, we're at the highest membership we've ever been, well over 27,000 members. And as Amalia said, you know, in the last couple years, I have seen more growth in adding programs than I have in, you know, 25 plus years. And it's exciting because we've entered into the virtual age. We have 2 virtual schools that also have FFA chapters now, the Destinations Career Academy and iForward. So we've kind of entered that new realm of getting students involved with agricultural education and FFA. So we're alive and growing, and it's exciting.
Yeah, I was thinking about one of the most recognizable things about FFA is the blue corduroy jacket that students wear. And Sam Smith was talking about in the song. I still have mine. You know, it's I would not be able to put it on. I think I weighed 140 pounds when I was a senior at East High School. And it's, shall we say, stiff. You know, when it gets to be 70 years old or so, things tend to get, but I still, I hung on to it because, you know, it's got all the medals and my name on it with the fact I was president of the Madison East FFA and things like that, that always bring back good memories. But it's, in terms of marketing, it's a pretty good trademark. It hasn't changed much, has it, Cheryl, over the years?
No, it actually hasn't, you know, and there have been things, well, you know, a little different corduroy. The emblem's been updated just a little bit. Yeah. But that tradition of that FFA jacket, I mean, it goes back to the 1930s, back to almost the very beginning. And, you know, we've even had conversations sometime. Do we continue with that? And I'll tell you, the students speak up, and definitely that is a tradition of our organization, because you're right. It's our trademark when you see that blue jacket. And you know what? It's so much fun when you see floods of blue jackets when they come to events and conventions. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
remember taking my behind-the-wheel driver's test. I wore my FFA jacket. And the guy who was testing me said, oh, you're an FFA member. Good for you. And I passed. The first time. So it helped me out in ways that I hadn't thought about, to be perfectly honest. But I think there really are. You see that jacket, you know instantly who it is. Brett in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Larry. Yes, driving the tractor around my farm when I was 12 years old helped prepare me for my driver's test. My brother was in FFA. I was too busy in high school working in restaurants, but we would take the restaurant leftovers, and back then they called them slop, I guess, and feed his pigs, which were Hampshires. And doing that before school, by the way, was not a good idea because that stuff does not wash off. So we'd try to do it after school. And he would, he was a bit of a rascal. He would name his pigs after his favorite police officers. And I did not believe that helped that interaction any, but some of them thought, his biggest black hamster was named after Sergeant Shackelford, and he was able to laugh about that. But
okay, well, interesting story. You know, it reminds me that ag, there is a strong ag, obviously an ag portion to it. And, you know, you've got, well, Amalia, you've got, you're from a dairy background. Brett's, his is from a hog background, but there are pretty much any animal agriculture is still a big part of FFA.
Yeah, it's a huge part of FFA. And even within our showing community and our career development events, students can do livestock evaluation, meat science, all of these different things. And I get impressed because I come from a dairy background, but I'm seeing students do things that most adults can't even comprehend and things that are so technical and taking care of their animals so well. It really is impressive. And I think that their FFA experience just makes it so easy for them to flourish in this area, which I'm so proud of students. And it's so fun to hear all of the different stories and different animals that they're passionate about.
Amalia Draxler and Cheryl Zimmerman, our guests from the Wisconsin FFA, and Cheryl's also National FFA Executive Secretary. Great to have them with us as we talk FFA. Questions for them or an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. At noon today, we're joined by folks from the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. They'll share this year's field trip lineup. It's a big one. And then at 12:30, we'll talk about the executive director of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance, and we'll hear the key issues their group is tackling and how you can become a birder this spring. Right now, though, we're taking a look at the FFA, and the Wisconsin FFA represented very well by Cheryl Zimmerman and Amalia Draxler. Great to have them with us. Again, questions for them, give a call. The number 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. And if you've got an experience to share, I hope you'll join in with those experiences for sure. So students don't really need to have an ag background to become members of FFA.
Not Cheryl. At all. Just, you know, even just to have an interest in what might be going on in that agricultural classroom, you know, because our goal in FFA and with ag education is obviously to help students realize the many career opportunities that there are in agriculture. We know not that everybody's going to go back to the farm, although the farm is the grassroots of our whole organization, but we also need individuals that are obviously supporting all aspects of the agricultural industry and the many, many careers. And so again, our teachers have been awesome to bring in students to the classroom and to teach them about these career opportunities and to make them great informed consumers about where their food and fiber and fuel comes from.
Many of them turn to education, do they not? Many of the students, when they become teachers themselves?
You know, I was one of those, Larry, you know, because I majored in ag education and ag journalism there with you at the university. And with my interest in FFA and everything, yes, I decided to become an ag teacher myself. And we do see that a lot of students that come through our program realize the benefits and how they grew as an individual and then decide to take that path of ag education to become an ag teacher.
How's that changed that whole ag education field? When I was in there, I was at Madison East FFA and Irv Gerhardt was our FFA advisor. He was a really good one. But I'm guessing that things are all, I mean, we used to do testing for milk fat. We had a tester that we could do in the classroom or in the lab next to the classroom. Probably don't have that now.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. The thing is, as far as our ag teachers today, you know, we still have our traditional programs to train teachers to become licensed ag teachers, because that is a requirement for our programs, is there must be a licensed ag teacher. But there's also some different options, too, to get that license rather than just the traditional college program. We also have a lot of experience-based teachers now that have come out of the ag industry and they meet the requirements, and then they can also get a license then to be an ag teacher, because again, our programs are growing. We've experienced shortages of teachers, especially ag teachers. And so with the programs growing and everything, we continually need to fuel that pipeline and bring that talent in, obviously, to continue in the profession for ag education and FFA to grow. But I'll tell you, some of these ag programs, too, have fantastic facilities that they're bringing these students into. I mean, there are some that have actual farms, you know, a small operation that students can bring animals in and they can work with them. The greenhouses, the facilities, the laboratories, the meat science facilities. It's just pretty phenomenal in terms of how the ag classroom and the experience has continued to evolve.
Thinking back at the time, I found out not from Mr. Gerhardt, I found out from somebody else that he was the highest paid teacher in the Madison school system for high school. And the reason for that was because he was on a 12-month appointment.
Yeah, exactly. So again, you know, when we look at an ag teacher, their role is a little different in a school system, because I don't want to say they're on call 24 hours, but I'll tell you, they put in a lot of hours taking students to, like Malia said, career development events and leadership development events and conferences, and then visiting them at their supervised agricultural experience places, whether it be on the farm or at their job site. And it happens all year long, because probably many of you have seen ag teachers at local county fairs, because they play an instrumental part in those fairs during the summer. So,
yeah, I remember Mr. Gerhardt would go around and visit every student he had who had a farm. He would, they always had projects going relating to FFA, and he'd get around more than once in the summer to keep track and help and advise, as the time went on. So it was pretty, it was more than a full-time job in many ways. Lots of evening stuff as well. Dave in Marshfield, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Larry. It's a good subject here. I was in 4-H. I wasn't in FFA, but I had a real good friend here in Marshfield, UW-Madison graduate also, Eric Hansodia. He is running ACO Corporation, which is just under, like, John Deere is our size, but he's trying to catch up to them. And he is trying to do what he can for the farmers through his company, ACO.
That's pretty cool. Cheryl, you're nodding like you may know that.
Yes. Well, and he actually was a guest speaker at our recent Wisconsin FFA alumni convention when we were in Stevens Point last year. And so, you know, that again is one of those stories about how, you know, came up through the FFA and credits, obviously, the leadership development and the experience that they have. And the sky's the limit. And he's an example of you know, what FFA can do for young people.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right. Dave, thanks. I appreciate that. Appreciate your call. You can join in too at 800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm wondering about the ages. You know, when I was in, it was, you could join as a freshman in high school, which I did. And then, so it was basically all 4 years of high school. And that, I think, has changed, has it not, Amalia?
Yeah, actually, very recently at the national level, we've started allowing fifth and sixth grade members. And then, so now you can join as young as fifth grade and be an FFA member all throughout middle school, all throughout high school. And even in my case, you can still be in FFA 3 years out of high school. So we see a really wide range, which is really great to start a lot of leadership and development very young.
Yeah, that's. I thought that was a really good. And so it's more along the line of 4-H in terms of the length of, you know, when you can join and become a member. I think 4-H might even be a little earlier than that. I can't remember off the top. I was in both. So,
yeah. Well, Larry, the biggest thing with this, too, is that a fifth grader, if they do join, they have to have an agriculture class in their school at that grade level before they can join. So that's kind of a little bit of a difference between us and 4-H, where they still have to, the first requirement is to sign up for an ag class and be in that classroom.
And you were saying that I imagine there's, like with 4-H, there's also folks who may not be the teachers, but who are volunteering and helping in some fashion with various projects and work. Talk about that, Cheryl.
Yes, our FFA alumni and supporters group, they are key in helping the ag teacher at the local level and for us at the state and national level too. The FFA alumni has been around since the early 70s and they are doing great things. And again, you know, you don't have to be a former FFA member to be an alumni member. If you are interested in supporting a local program, being a part of a local FFA chapter, you just need to reach out in your community. And I think almost every one of our FFA chapters has an alumni chapter that you can get involved. And you're right, you know, helping coach these career development event teams, being there as a resource, a speaker for, you know, a class. There's just all kinds of ways you can stay connected to FFA as long as you want to.
I think, and this has been sort of mentioned in passing, but I think an aspect of FFA that helped me a lot are the competitive events. Now, I was in, no, this is a while back, but I, for quite a few years of my time in FFA, I participated in the public's, they were speaking events. And I had to write a speech each year on something, take a stand on something, and then present that, and then be questioned by, I think there were three judges who would question me on my topic and also how I how I presented. And my senior year, I did wind up in the state finals and got to present. I didn't win, but I had I got the chance to get up in front of the whole state convention, give my talk and so forth. It was, is that still going on?
Yes, definitely.
Go ahead, Amalia. Tell her about your experiences.
Yeah, I got to compete in prepared public speaking a couple of times as a member, and those leadership development events where you do public speaking were my favorite. And I first started doing it when I was in ninth grade. I did the creed speaking competition where you have to memorize the FFA creed and present it in front of judges and then answer some questions about it. And I practiced for weeks and I got to the competition. I did all right, but I did cry afterwards. It was very nerve-wracking, but doing that, I think, really helped me in my future, and I did prepared public speaking, like I said, many years after that. And I really think that I would not be able to stand up and give a speech to hundreds of students today if it wasn't for that experience when I was in high school.
Do you, you know, I was advisor to a number of state officers over time, and actually quite a few state presidents at the position you're in. And the schedules that they had to keep were unbelievably, I couldn't imagine how you could do anything else. But there was a lot of speaking, especially at banquets, or kind of get-togethers at local chapters. And you still do that, I imagine?
Yes, we do still do a lot of speaking. I'm really excited. Coming up in April, I have 10 different chapter banquets that I get to speak at, my home one being in 2 weeks, so I get to go back to my home chapter and give a keynote. And I've also been practicing for my retiring address, which should be coming up at state convention, and I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah, that you're a... Did you hold another state office, or were you... I mean, you're president, but were you secretary or one of those other offices, state offices?
Yes, I was the state vice president last year.
Yeah, I think that's how the process usually works. Well, I want to get into a couple of the other ones. One, dairy products judging, which I was good at, so I wanted to bring that up. And I could tell you a little story. When I was at East High School, we had a really good team. And there was Brian Cabot and Emil Goink and I. And Brian Cabot was first in the state, and I was second. And Emil was up there. So we went to the national contest. And the contest itself involved, you know, determining, among other things, determining flavors in milk, which I never would drink. I would always smell. I had a pretty good smell for that. But Brian was even better than I was. And we got to the national contest in Waterloo, Iowa. And he unfortunately developed a cold of the couple of days before the contest. So the national contest, I won the gold medal. And Emil was, I think, about seventh. But Brian was way down the line because he couldn't smell or taste anything. So we didn't win the national contest. But I'm convinced we would have if Brian wouldn't have had a cold.
You know, Larry, it must be something about that dairy products judging competition, because I did that when I was an FFA member, too. It's actually at World Dairy Expo that I did mine. And I realized as I was doing it, because, you know, you taste the cheese, you taste, you know, those kind of things. I realized that I was filling out my scorecard wrong about halfway through the contest. So I quickly, I'm like going, okay, I got to switch this around. Ended up like in the top five. I don't know how, but I did, you know, but it must be something about that competition that we've got some great memories that really helped us out.
You need to know some things other than just be able to tell what cheese you were eating or the flavor of milk. There were other aspects to the process that you had to really be familiar with.
Yeah, and even now today too, as they've kind of revised the competitions, you know, they've added where it's not just individuals doing things, that is part of it, but then they also have like a team component where they have to work together and solve, you know, a problem or come up with a solution for something, whatever it might be. So yeah, we've definitely been evolving those competitions.
Kevin emailed us. He grew up a non-farmer, though he picked stones and baled hay for money and also worked at his grandpa's apple and cherry orchards. Kevin had a great love for the outdoors and took FFA in the late 70s, figuring it to be easy and fun. Turned out to be one of the best life lessons classes that he took. His chapter planted hundreds of trees on school property. His instructor helped him get comfortable and successful in speaking contests. In his senior year, he was president and placed eighth out of more than 200 individuals in the state meat judging contest at Oscar Mayer Plant in Madison. Who knew that learning how to judge carcasses and cuts of meats would come in handy for the supermarket shopping trips for the families years later? They even had an FFA basketball team that competed against other high schools. Lots of great memories. He still has his old blue jacket. I wonder how many people still have their old blue jacket. Cheryl, you got yours. Yeah, I've got mine. Well, there's a number of things in what he has, what he's talking about here. Planting trees, planted over 1,000 trees myself. Is that still a part of the program?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have obviously natural resources classes that our ag teachers are teaching. I remember when I was teaching in Waupaca a few years ago. That was kind of one of my first jobs I had after coming out of college. We planted trees back then too. And so, yeah, natural resources, wildlife management, forest management, all of those kind of things are definitely a part of our current curriculum.
I kind of flashed down a story. I was in the supermarket and I was looking at some cuts of meat, and there was a gal standing next to me, and I had a couple, and I was picking and setting them back down and so forth. And then I finally took one, and she said, "Which one did you have second best?" Oh, boy. So I said, "Well, this one is this pretty close to the same." And so she took that one. So those are some things you learn that you don't think you're, I liked his little story because it reminded me of little things you learn in everyday day-to-day practices that are, I mean, lifelong things for me. Mm-hmm. Think about
exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the thing is too, it's like obviously we're doing this through agricultural education. But again, when you go past those years in the blue jacket and you know, you look back at the skills that you gained, and whether it's specifically related to your career or it's going to the grocery store, you know, and being able to pick out those best cuts of meat, or like Amalia said, you know, being able to stand up in front of a group of people and talk, or, you know, so many times parliamentary procedure too, you know, people, you know, compliment the FFA and even ask them to come into their board meetings to help teach parliamentary procedure. There's just so many skills that our students do gain, and lifelong skills.
Let's talk about some of the other competitive events, because there's a lot. There are career development events, are there not? Mm-hmm. Talk about some of them. Go ahead, Cheryl, you can start.
Yeah, you know, we used to call them judging contests back in the day. They were kind of rebranded as career development events because obviously we have a number of areas where we are helping students to really hone in those skills for the careers that they may be interested in the future. You know, and we've diversified those too, because they're not just judging livestock or, you know, whatever that might be. It belongs, there's the landscape, the floriculture, the horticulture, the farm business management. And so just a lot. And actually, auctioneering, we have a state officer this year, Max Lutke from Beaver Dam, and he won the state auctioneers contest and has a great future if he continues to go into auctioneering. So yeah, it's a fantastic way to kind of test where your interests are and gain those skills that can lead you into the careers.
Talking today with Amalia Draxler, president of the Wisconsin FFA, and Cheryl Zimmerman. Cheryl is executive director of the Wisconsin FFA and also national FFA executive secretary. Stories, questions for them. I hope you'll join in. What was your experience like with FFA, perhaps, or on the farm? I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Tomorrow on the show, we have two leaders from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection joining us to bring our attention to the latest scams that unfortunately are out there and prevalent. And then we'll talk with a reporter from the New York Times wire cutter about the best products their team tested this past year. And quick note, I'm looking forward to being in Wausau tonight. I think I'll be speaking at, I think it's 7 at the Veninga Theater. And this is part of my little series of romps around the state as I'm retiring at the end of June. I'll be in Wausau tonight, and then we'll be in Green Bay, and I'll be in Eau Claire, and I'll be in Madison speaking, and some other places too, which I'm suddenly forgetting. But you can find out about, you need tickets for that, so go to WPR.org/presents. If you're in the Green Bay area or Eau Claire or Madison or Bayfield, there are lots of places where you might still have a chance to see me. And actually, we were filled. I think there's a couple of people must have dropped out at the last minute for the Wausau. So there are still some spots available for tonight. If you want to go, not many, but go to WPR.org/presents, and you can latch onto a ticket and still get in tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun because Jill Nadeau is thinking up all kinds of fiendish questions to ask me and embarrassing ones, I'm sure. We'll have fun. We'll have fun. And we're having fun right now talking about the FFA with our two guests, Amalia Draxler, who's president of Wisconsin FFA, a student here at UW, Cheryl Zimmerman, who was a student, actually mine back in the day. She's now executive director of the Wisconsin FFA and National FFA Executive Secretary. And questions or comments or maybe an experience to share, join in at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. Cheryl, you know, I should have asked you this right off the bat. I mean, you're executive director. You have this other great position as national executive secretary. Talk about those two roles and maybe how they're different.
Yeah. Well, as executive director for Wisconsin FFA, I took on that role in 1993 and have been doing that ever since. And that's really where I focus on helping the state of Wisconsin, working with the Wisconsin state officer team, with Amalia's team, and helping to coordinate the FFA events and membership here in Wisconsin. The national position, actually, in 2019, I was selected to serve in this national role because we went through a change at the national level with our federal charter. And the people that used to be in the advisor and executive secretary role were employees of the United States Department of Education. Well, we changed that. And so because of that change, because I really had no intent of going out to work in Washington, D.C. and whatever, they adjusted the board positions. And so I applied, and I've had the opportunity since that time to serve in the role of the national executive secretary as a leader of the board of directors for the organization.
So is there some politicking going on as part of that job, or what's the main part of that?
Well, the main part of it is to oversee the national organization and all the opportunities, obviously, that we're connecting with our state associations, the membership nationwide, providing direction at that level. So I work with a great group of people, a great team, and we're right now planning our strategic plan for, you know, the years 2027 through 2031. I had the chance to announce the location of the National FFA Convention again for the next about 10 years or so. So just a lot of fun things to help support ag education and FFA members nationwide.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty cool role. I'm wondering how about funding. So how is the FFA funded? I imagine it's a combination of things going on there.
At the state level, well, first of all, we have funds that come from our local chapters, whether it be individual students paying dues to be a part of the organization or chapters paying a fee to be a part of our local and state organizations. But I will have to say that a lot of our events and our activities and our competitions are supported by very, very generous sponsors that work through our Wisconsin FFA Foundation. And without that foundation, without the dollars coming in to support the activities, even the things like Amali and her team are involved as far as training and travel and reaching out to local programs, all of that, we just thank our sponsors and our FFA alumni and supporters too, because they also help fund us financially as well as through help with a variety of activities. So if you're interested in sponsoring the FFA, just reach out to our foundation, and we're always looking for donors to help support our programs and activities.
Yeah, I was even remembering, thinking back to my speaking, the contests and so forth, they were almost always wherever you went, there was a local business or local businesses that were providing some financial support or otherwise in-kind stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, because in order for us to be able to buy the awards and run the programs and everything from the local level right up through national, it's sponsors that really help us, and we do greatly appreciate their support.
Daryl emailed us. He says he believes, he really believes in the future of farming, enjoying this FFA interview. He was the Creed speaker winner at Albert Lea back in the ninth grade year. And he says, thanks for the memories as we talk today. You know, I still value that. Well, all of the medals and so forth I had in my jacket, but that gold medal that I got for the national championship, that really means a lot to me. And here it's, you know, what year that was? Probably 1961. You know, that's a long time ago, and here I am still hanging on to this. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's again, this organization just has such strong roots, deep roots, you know, in our founding, in what our purpose and our mission is. And again, just strong alumni and individuals that have had these experiences. And, you know, I think some of those gold medals are probably very similar to what you have, you know. As we look at the medals for competitions, the degrees that students can earn, and maybe Amalia can tell you a little bit about that too, because obviously to be a state officer, she had to get her state FFA degree and work towards the American FFA degree. So
yeah,
maybe she can highlight a little of that.
Chime in there, Amalia.
I got to receive my American degree at the national convention this past October, and that was one of the most fulfilling moments. And it's really rewarding to be able to look back on an FFA career of going on 9 years now and see this American degree being able to encompass all the hard work that we put in, all the activities, volunteering. One of the requirements for the award was to have $10,000 earned and invested in my SAE. So it was a really cool experience to have that alongside other individuals from Wisconsin. And this year for state convention, I'm really excited to be shaking hands of the state degree recipients. And I know that's just such a special moment. And all of our blue jackets carry so many memories. And I'm so excited to look forward to that at state convention.
James in Denmark has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, James.
Hello. Hey, Cheryl. Hey, Amalia. I know you both.
Hi,
well.
James.
Hey, I just wanted to call and give kudos to the hard work that you guys do. I grew up on a dairy farm, FFA member. You know, the alumni was such a big part of my life growing up. They had a program called WEA back in the day. I graduated in 1987, where I actually got to go live in Holland, the Netherlands, for 3 months to live on a dairy farm. And my alumni paid for all of that for me. And that's what got me motivated to get back involved. And so I've been very involved with our local alumni, and then it led me to my future wife, Mary, who's the ag teacher in Denmark. So I just want to, you know, give kudos for the hard work you do, for all the hard work all the AG teachers do throughout the state of Wisconsin. I don't think anybody is as dedicated as those teachers right there and all the time that they give to those kids. And I know the kids appreciate it, but it's just a great organization. It led me to who I am and what I've done with the confidence I have and everything I've done in my life. So kudos to you guys.
James, thanks for calling. Comment, Cheryl, maybe?
Oh, it's just wonderful. Yep. We appreciate James so much, too, because we have an opportunity to work with him through a variety of avenues. And again, one of many success stories. So thank you, James, for those comments.
You know, as James was talking, I was thinking about teachers and something that's ag teachers and something that has come up. And you mentioned earlier that we're always looking for new ag teachers. And one of the, I'm thinking back here, it's not that long back, talking to somebody who had been an ag teacher and then knew another couple that had been ag teachers, but then they got real because of their background and because of their teaching, they wound up taking jobs in private business, and the salaries were, even though the salaries were okay, they were not close to what they could, in those cases at least, what they could make. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've seen in terms of teachers and keeping them?
That still is a trend, you know, because when our ag teachers come out as far as being ready to teach in a classroom, they have so much background in so many different areas of agriculture, and especially working with people and understanding how to manage and organize. And I mean, all the different things that, you know, they can be eligible for a lot of different career opportunities. And it is, it's one of those things that, you know, they work hard, they put in a lot of long hours and everything. And sometimes the financial benefit just, you know, isn't quite there. And they go on to different career opportunities. So, it's just, you know, again, we continually need to have people in that pipeline to keep our programs going. You know, one thing is kind of a trend is as people change careers, probably a little more often than some of us used to of being in a job for 30 some years or whatever. But, you know, we need great people who are willing to come in and work with our students, because that's our future, folks, and developing leaders and supporting the agricultural industry. And I think a lot of times teachers obviously see that in the reward, and it's not always the financial end of things. It's the reward of really helping young people be better people and grow into leaders.
I even know somebody who's been 59 years in the same job. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness me. We didn't spend any time, I don't think, talking about work at the state capitol. Students also spend a day at the capitol, don't they, Amalia? Or sometime?
Yes, our FFA Day on the Hill is a chance in February during FFA week. It's a pretty recent tradition, and it allows students to go into our capital, meet with legislators, get a chance to talk about things that they're passionate about, another great leadership opportunity.
I would think that would be an interesting experience to sit down with other legislators. They ask good questions?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because you sometimes get people who are great friends of agriculture and know about FFA, and I think more often than not, you get people who are brand new to the concept, but we get a lot of people who are really interested to learn, and it's good knowing that we can walk out of there knowing that maybe we did work educating somebody today on agriculture, and just being able to share our mission and who we are is really important.
So in the end, I mean, what's next for you, Amalia?
Great question. I'm kind of nearsighted right now. We're working really hard on our state convention for this June. So I know my team is super excited about that. We're writing our session scripts. We're working on all of our committee work. After that, I plan to go back to UW-Madison, finish my degree. I have about 3 semesters left, so I'm going to hit the books really hard. And hopefully in the future, my short-term goal is to run for Alice in Dairyland. And beyond that, I'm really looking forward to a job that helps me advocate for agriculture and all of the wonderful things that we do every day.
Now you had me flashback on 1 year. 5 of the 6 finalists for Alice in Dairyland were all my advisees. Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been some memories for me, but it's also been really a lot of fun to see what's going on now with the FFA. I want to thank you both very much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Amalia Draxler is a student and president of Wisconsin FFA, and Cheryl Zimmerman, executive director of Wisconsin FFA and national FFA executive secretary. Fun talking with them today. Coming up, we got a whole new thing to talk about. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News, and you'll find out about it in just a minute. I've got brothers and sisters.